Good morning. It's my honor today to bring God's word to you. Let us pray. Our gracious Father, we want to thank you for your faithfulness. Lord, we remember that, Lord, you said, Lord, your mercies are new every morning. Lord, may you pour upon your mercies upon our lives, upon this very message, that, Lord, as we receive your word, may it, Lord, grow roots and germinate and begin to bear fruit for your glory or for your kingdom's sake. In Jesus' name, and all God's people say, amen. In my family, there's my wife, two daughters, aged 17 and 15, and a dog called Macy. I remembered when Macy was a young puppy. She loves chewing on things. One day, I was back from work. I found scraps of newspaper at the doorway. Following the scraps of paper, I soon found out that Macy was having a ball of a life, of time, tearing papers into pieces. The torn pieces tells me something was wrong. Just like today's passage, the dry bones tells us something was wrong. Those bones are going to tell us a very powerful story. Here in Ezekiel 37, we see that God has taken Ezekiel into a strange place. God brought him into a valley. This valley was covered with bones. There had been a tremendous battle taken place some time back, but now there is nothing but bones scattered in this valley. We must understand that the prophetic interpretation and application is the nation of Israel. Verse 11 says, these bones are the whole house of Israel. These are bones of people who were under the covenant of God. They have broken the covenant, and because of that, God's covering was taken away from the people of Israel. The bones tells the story of their defeat in battles and their rebelliousness. This slide gives us an overview of the book of Ezekiel, how God's judgment foretold and fulfilled. But later part chapters, we read of God's mercy restoring Israel to new life. And in chapter 37 is a prophecy of God's work of regeneration and revival. In our passage, we see Ezekiel standing in the midst of the dry bones. As he stands there and looks on, God begins to speak to him. Notice what the Lord said in Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 3. Can these bones live? Can these bones live? I believe that when God asked Ezekiel this question, more than likely he was tempted to say, no, that's impossible. But that's not what he did. Ezekiel made a wise statement, O Lord, God, you know. And God did know. God was about to show Ezekiel that indeed those bones could live. Our text indicates that prophet Ezekiel was transported by the Lord to a valley of death. God gave Ezekiel a divine appointment that was neither attractive nor promising. The calling and direction given by God to Ezekiel defied all human reasoning. On the surface, this appointment that God gave Ezekiel didn't make any sense. We are told that the hand of the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord, were active in Ezekiel's life. No one had a more definite call upon their life than Ezekiel. Why did God put Ezekiel in such a strange place? Why did God give Ezekiel such a difficult situation to face? We know for the very fact that the Lord never promised Ezekiel a life that would be characterized by ease and comfort. We are told in Ezekiel chapter 2, verse 3 and 4, it says, and he said to me, son of man, I send you to the people of Israel, to nations of rebels who have rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me to this very day. The descendants also are impudent and stubborn. I send you to them, and you shall say to them, thus says the Lord. God has promised Ezekiel that he would have a congregation that will be filled with rebellious and unreceptive people. Think with me for just a moment about the place where God had placed Ezekiel. How devastating this was. These were dry bones. The situation that Ezekiel was facing was obvious. All Ezekiel could see were bones in the valley. How devastating this must have been. They were dead bones. There was no life whatsoever. What was once a great army marching to battle was now just a pile of bones. There was no sign of movement. These bones represent a life that is alienated from God. These bones represent a person who have chosen to live their life apart from God. They are what the Word of God calls spiritually dead. A person whose life is controlled by the things of this world is dead on the inside. Satan does not give a person life. He gives them death. Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. They were depressed bones. We are told in verse 1 that these bones were in the middle of a valley. The Bible speaks of the valleys as a place of depression, a place where nobody would like to go. These bones were in deep, dark, deserted valley. No one has real joy apart from the Lord Jesus. They may be happy on the outside, but only Jesus can give real joy. As we recall comedian Robin Williams, South Korean singer Kim Jong-un, lead singer of K-pop band SHINee, and food blogger Anthony Bourdain, all committed suicide. There were some college students that wrote paper about life and entitled their paper, "Life is a joke that isn't even funny. Life is a disease. The only cure for it is death. Life is a jail sentence that we get for the crime of being born." How sad to know that in Singapore, we have one of the highest rates of depression. Only Jesus can bring solid hope in the present and in the future. It's so good for us to know that these are bones of people who know the Lord, but have gone astray from God's will and plan. Something for us to reflect. What an assignment God has given to Ezekiel. We have no reason to doubt the fact that God has placed him there for a reason. But imagine how devastating this was. Ezekiel saw a depressing valley. He saw a pile of lifeless bone. His heart must have dropped when God placed him in the valley of bones. I want you to think about something: that bones have no ambition. Bones have no awareness. Bones have no activity. This scene must have been disheartening for Ezekiel. As he looked over those bones, he could think back to the time when those bones represent ambition, represent awareness, and a time of activity. These bones at once time represent life, represented hope. At one time, these bones represented a bright future. At one time, these bones were vibrant, alive, doing something good. Now look at them. These bones has no activity, no awareness, and no ambition. Ezekiel stands there alive, but all alone. God had put him in the middle of the deep, depressing valley. God told him that it wouldn't be easy, but more likely Ezekiel never thought that it would be this bad. If Ezekiel had one word to describe the situation that he was in, it would be the word impossible. This valley of dry bones defied human reasoning. This situation seems helpless and hopeless. I believe that you will agree with me that Ezekiel needed a miracle. He needed for God to do something. So as Ezekiel stood there looking at these bones about that time, God asked him a question. Son of man, can these bones live? Can you imagine what went through Ezekiel's mind as God asked him this question? But keep something in mind. God was not seeking information. This word, can these bones live, indicates to us that God is doing something. Ezekiel was not doing the asking. It was God that doing the asking, that does the asking. God was letting Ezekiel know that from that moment on, he was going to be in control. Ezekiel's response was a very wise one. Oh Lord, God, you know. You see, you must understand that God is in control of every situation. No matter how difficult it may seem, when God does the asking, this means he's going to do something. Now God tells Ezekiel what to do. God was going to give him the solution. Only God could raise up these bones. Only God had a solution. But God needed Ezekiel to be obedient to his command. Notice Ezekiel's holy response. How can a man preach under such condition? Of all the ridiculous things that Ezekiel had to do, this probably will rank one of the top. The only hope of anything happening in these dry bones is found, oh Lord God, you know. The word you know held the key for something great to happen. Ezekiel knew that he couldn't bring those bones back together, but he did know that God and God alone can do something. You see, a faith that depends totally upon God begins to expect something great from God, because God is the God of the impossible. William Carey said this, expect great things from God, attempt great things for God. Ezekiel knows God could do something for these bones. When God spoke to Ezekiel, he raised his voice with urgency, knowing that God had spoken and that God could do the impossible. Ezekiel knew that his opinion to the situation wouldn't help. He needed a word of God. The word of God brought the world into being. Only God is called the creator because he is the originator of all creation. The word of God is alive. Hebrew 4 verse 12 tells us, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. Jesus said in John chapter 6, verse 63, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. If the God of impossible is going to raise up those dry bones, they must be given the word of God. God had Ezekiel stand as a preacher and proclaim the word of God. Do you know that when God told Ezekiel to speak to those dry bones, God didn't promise Ezekiel that he would get a response? The only thing that Ezekiel knew was that if he proclaimed the word, hear the word of the Lord, God was going to do something. In verse 9, he says, then he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from four winds, O breath, and breathe on this land, that they may live. In the Old Testament and New Testament, words spirit, breath, and wind are interchangeable. This verse here uses the word breath, which refers to the breath of God. When God created man, he breathed into his nostril the breath of life. The man became a living soul. The Bible speaks of the word of God as the inspiration of God, which means God's breath. If those dead dry bones are going to have life, they must have the word of God. They must be filled with the Holy Spirit. When Ezekiel obeyed the command of the Lord, something begins to happen. God was going to display his mighty power. There was a loud commotion, we see in verse 7. There was a logical connection. There was a large corpse. They looked like they were alive. They stood up on their feet. But there was one thing missing. There was no breath in them. If a person is going to have life, they must have breath. They must have birth, a regenerating breath. All these bones needed was life. Look with me in verse 10. At the breath came into them, they live. They received life, and they stood up upon their feet. They rise up. And not only they stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army, they regain their strength. In this story, it reminds us that God is never passive or remote from his creation, but he always involved in all that he has made. In the past, this activity was seen in the history of Israel and in the ministry of Jesus Christ. In the present, God's activity can be seen in the life of a believer and of the church. Perhaps you need a touch from God. Perhaps you need to experience a divine inspiration that occurs when God breathes into you his quickening power. He can enliven you to be a part of his mighty spiritual army. He can quicken you so that you can become a vibrant, vital soldier of the cross. Maybe this morning you are here feeling dry, feeling empty, feeling distant away from the Lord. The Lord is here to say, I have the breath of life. Come to me. And he shall give you the breath of life. Let us pray. Lord, you are bringing a renewal, a revival in Singapore, and you have started within the church. Continue to fill us with the Holy Spirit that we may proclaim your life-giving words to those in our community so that all will come to faith in you and bless your great and holy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.